this morning. It's a joy and a blessing to have you here. You read the scripture this morning, John chapter 17. Our message is going to be coming from that chapter, so if you want to turn your Bible to John chapter 17, that's where we'll be preaching from. The title of the sermon, which you probably saw in the bulletin, is The Union of Christ and the Believer. Think about this. When you take vitamins or you take medication, that which you take, you go out, you purchase it, you take it for the purpose of it going into your digestive system and digesting and becoming a part of your body. You expect that to do that, and you expect results from it. And so that's why you purchase the product and take it. When you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit come in, take up residence in your life, and become a complete part of your soul and being. You have the divine nature living in you and living through you, giving you all that you need to live the spiritual life that He has given you. Let's bow our heads, Father. As we look to you this morning, as we look into your word, we ask, Lord, that you would just help us in every way to understand your truths. And Lord, as we open our heart and mind to hear and see and receive that which you have for us, that you would work in and through our lives, that as we leave and go out in the world would see you and glorify you. And we thank you, Lord. Amen. Here in this chapter of John 17, if you look at the verses you were reading, verse 21 says that all may be one as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, so that the world may believe that thou sent me. In verse 23, it says, I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Notice it also says, 24, Father, I will also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. And then he says again in verse 26, and I have declared unto them my name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. The Word of God talks about the believer being in Christ. It also talks about Christ being in a believer. This is knowing the union of Christ and the believer. Our sin has been imputed upon the Lord Jesus Christ, and his righteousness has been imputed in us. We talked last week about eating the Word of God, eating the Lord Jesus Christ, and having him become a part of you. And we said that hadn't to do with communion, but it had to do with receiving Christ as your Savior and allowing him to be in your life and live in your life. When the Lord Jesus Christ went on the cross and hung there. The believer was sin, was dealt with on the cross. The believer was in the Lord Jesus Christ when he was buried in the grave. This is the death of sin. This is the death of self for the believer. The believer was in Jesus Christ when he arose from the grave. This gave the believer eternal life. The believer is in the Lord Jesus Christ as he sits on the right hand of the Father. This gives the believer the righteousness that is needed to be in the presence of God. The believer also has, with Christ living in him, the hope and security of the believer. This hope and security is our victory in this life. The Lord Jesus Christ in the believer gives the believer the power, gives the believer the ability to live a righteous life. And this righteous life is through God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit living in us. This union of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Father and the Son living in us, should give us the desire and the purpose for living life with him living through us. Because this is also a sure guarantee of life eternal with him living in us. So we say, well, how does this union begin? John chapter 3, if you want to look at it, John chapter 3, we're very familiar, probably many of you, with the verses. In John chapter 3, Jesus is talking to Nicodemus, and he says, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus says to him, well, how can I be born in my mother's womb again? Jesus points out, I'm not talking about another fleshly birth. I'm talking about a spiritual birth. He says, except a man be born of water and also of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. For that which is born of the flesh is the one thing, the flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is the other thing, the Spirit. Marvel not that I said you must be born again. And in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23, it says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. And we know the Lord Jesus Christ is the word that became flesh. How does this union begin? At the new birth, when the Holy Spirit comes and dwells in our life. Romans, if you want to look at it, says in Romans chapter 8, verse 9, it says this, but you're not in the flesh, but you're in the Spirit. If so be it, the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. If you have Christ living in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life, because you have righteousness, his righteousness. If the Spirit of him that raised you up with Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead also gives life, quickens your mortal body by the Spirit of God dwelling in you. And in Romans chapter 8, if you look there, in verse 16, it says this, the Spirit itself bear witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Also, this union, how does it begin? It begins because when the Spirit of God comes and takes up residence in your life, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. So what is this union with Jesus Christ and the believer? What is it about? What is it like? First of all, it's a spiritual union. If you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16, it says this, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16 says, "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God? That the Spirit of God dwells in you." Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17. It says this, "He that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit." One. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. It says this, "For by one spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jew or Greek or Gentile, whether we be bond or free, and have all been all made to drink into one spirit." Another thing about this union, Christ lives in the believer. Go to Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, and it says this. Galatians 2:20, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I still live in this flesh, yet not I, but it is the Lord Jesus Christ that lives in me. And the life which I now live in this flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." Christ living in the believer. John 14:20 says this, "At that day ye shall know that I am in the Father, and ye in me, and I in you." A union of one with Christ and the believer. But we also see in John chapter 14, if you want to turn to that passage, it says in verse 23 of John chapter 14, "Jesus answered and said unto him, If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come," it says, "unto him, we will make our abode with him." We, Father, Son, and Spirit. In 1 John chapter 4, 15, makes it very clear. "Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God." The union of Christ and the believer. But also that union gives the believer life eternal. If you turn to 1 John chapter 5, verse 11, in 1 John chapter 5, verse 11, it says this. "This is the record," it says, "that God hath given unto us eternal life, and this life is in his Son." Life eternal through his Son that is living in us. This is how, when we preached last week, we spoke in John chapter 6, verse 53. It says, "Except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whosoever eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life." And I said it does not mean eating like a cannibal. It means believing and receiving Christ as your Savior, who then comes and lives in you. And then that's what he says in verse 57 of John chapter 6. "As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me and has me become a part of him, even he shall live by me." In other words, we are living by the Father through the Son, through the Spirit of God. And that says in John chapter 17, "As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give life to as many as thou hast given him. This is life eternal, that they may know thee, the only true God, Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. The only true God, Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. This union is also a sure hope. Colossians, if you'll turn there, verse 1, 27, says this. Colossians 1, 27. And it says, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30 says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed with the Spirit of God unto the day of redemption. That's sure hope. But then there's one more thing I want you to see about that union of Christ and the believer. Look at 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. And it says this in verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Look at verse 4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature. Partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. He has given us his divine power to live life and godliness through his knowledge of his word, that we might be partakers of his divine nature. Everything that a believer does in life should be the Lord Jesus Christ living in and through his life for the glory of God. Because we have that sure hope. We have that power that God gives us through the Son of God. Think about the nature of Christ. When the Lord Jesus Christ came to this earth and housed himself in the flesh, he, it says, laid aside the willingness to use the divine nature so that he could live a life in the flesh, but not sinful. Now, there were times that he did use the divine nature, like raising somebody from the dead, like saying, I know your thoughts, even when I saw you afar off. But he didn't exalt that divine nature. And people would see him as another human being. But the same is true of the believer. When the divine nature of the Lord Jesus Christ comes and takes up residence in our life, we still live in the flesh. And we can, if we want to, exalt the flesh. Just as the Lord Jesus Christ, who was God, could do all that he wanted as God and yet walk in the flesh, but he chose not to. It's the same manner of us living in the flesh. We choose not to do everything of the flesh so that he who is God that lives in us, that divine nature, can live through us. In other words, we deny ourselves of that which has to do with the flesh. We lay aside that which has to do with the flesh, and we allow that divine nature to live through us. In the Bible, there are pictures or symbolisms of Jesus Christ being in union with the believer. And the best one that we could look at is John chapter 15. And if you'll go there to John chapter 15, verse 1, it says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husband. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now, when we think about purging, you know, living in this York area, there are many orchards around here. And even if you have any type of fruit trees in your own yard, you know that when the spring, when the winter is, you go out and you trim the trees. And when the spring comes and there's so many sprouts come out, you trim out the sprouts. Why? So that you can get the most beautiful fruit. The Lord Jesus Christ, even though the divine nature lives in us, takes us and trims us so that we are exalting more of him and not of self. And it says in John chapter 15, verse 3, ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. And he says in verse 4, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. Now, the union of Christ and the believer is the fact that it's done, it is true, but who are you willing to do and live like and be? Do you want to walk after the flesh and control life, or do you allow the sap that flows through the vine into the branches do that which is for the glory of God? It says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, verse 7, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done. Life flows through the vine, through the branches, and life brings forth the fruit. You don't do it. You're the branch. Jesus Christ is that life that flows through you. Jesus Christ is that life that works in you. It's the Spirit of God and the Word of God that brings forth fruit. Another beautiful picture in the scriptures is 1 Corinthians chapter 12. If you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it's another beautiful picture of the union of Christ and the believer. It talks about in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Christ being the head of the body. Verse 12 says, for as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jew or Gentile, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. The head, who is the Lord Jesus Christ, is controlling the body. And the body functions as the head operates through it. If you take and remove your head, what is left of your body? It cannot function. If your head and the functioning of what that which is your brain becomes unable to function, what happens to the body? It's another beautiful picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15 says, speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, for whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part. Another picture of the union of Christ and the believer. And then we also have another picture as well, the building and the foundation. It says in Psalms 118:22, the stone which the builders refused has become the head of the corner. It's interesting that as they built the temple, One of the first things that they cut out was the head cornerstone, and they laid it aside because it said it's not right. And they continued to try to build a temple, and they kept searching for the stone that was the cornerstone, and finally they found it, the one that they already had but rejected. It's a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Jewish people rejected the cornerstone. But then the Lord Jesus Christ came and walked on this earth and went to the cross and died and was buried and rose again, and he became the cornerstone of the church. And the church is built on that cornerstone, which was the perfect cornerstone and received. And we are the building of the church. We are that which is Christ living in and through us. And therefore, we are built upon a foundation of the apostles and prophets who spoke of the church and the union with Christ. And so we see this picture today of living and walking and moving about with the Lord Jesus Christ living in and through us. This union brings unity. This union brings fellowship with the Father, Son, and Spirit. But it also brings union and fellowship with other believers. The greatest thing about this union is the divine nature of God living in us. We should have joy. We should have peace. We should have rest as God works in and through our lives, being exalted for his glory. Amen.